Now we discuss the equations of motion. Now we know what is the purpose. We want to have a dynamics for the system in terms of this variable tau, and we want to use as momenta of the particles p prime, so that the Hamiltonian is canonical. So we start from the extended Hamiltonian, which is the sum over I of p squared I to m squared plus u plus the Hamiltonian for the reservoir. And then we compute the equations of motion, which are nothing but the standard Hamilton's equation. So r dot I, so the velocities of the particles, are obtained by differentiating the Hamiltonian with respect to the momenta pi, and we get pi divided by m squared. The derivative of the momenta pi is minus the derivative of the Hamiltonian respect of qi, and you see that qi only appears in the potential energy, so we have the standard forces. Then s dot is equal to ps over q, which is the only term which contains ps. The only quantity that should be computed carefully is the derivative of ps, because this is equal to minus dh over ds. And dH over dS appears both in the kinetic energy and in the potential energy for the reservoir. So we get two terms. One is 2 multiplied by the sum of I p squared I to ms cubed minus gktS. And now we want to change variable. We want to go from t to tau, and we want to replace pi with p prime I, which is equal to pi over s. And remember the definition, the relation between t and tau, that the differential of t divided by s alpha is equal to d tau. So we start from the first equation, r dot, which is the derivative of ri divided by dt, which is equal to pi divided m squared. So now we compute the dRi divided by d tau, so the derivative of the coordinates with respect to the new time variables tau. So this is dRi divided by dt times s alpha. Then we use the equation of motion, and we see that this gives p prime divided by m multiplied by s alpha minus 1. So we see here that if we require alpha, which is up to now is still a generic, we've never fixed it, if we fix alpha equal to 1, we can have a canonical relation between velocity and momenta. So p prime is related to the derivative of r with respect to tau in a canonical way. So for this reason, we fix now alpha equal to 1. So from now on, we will always consider alpha equal to 1. And if alpha is equal to 1, this means that g, that the constant g, is equal to 3n. So from now on, I will always use these two conditions, that alpha is equal to 1 and g is equal to 3n. So the first equation becomes now canonical. So the derivative of ri with respect to d tau is p prime I divided by m. Then we compute the derivative of p prime I with respect to tau. So here we should have done things carefully, because we have to replace p prime with its expression in terms of pi and s. Then there is also a prefactor in front of everything, which is s, which is due to the change of variables from tau to t. Then we do the derivatives. So we obtain two terms, one which contains the time derivative of pi, and one which contains the time derivative of s. And then we use the Hamilton's equations. And so here we do the calculations, they are all trivial, and we see that this derivative is equal to the force, fi, minus ps over q, p prime I. So there is a correction, which is obtained in this change of variable, which is proportional to ps over q, multiplied by p prime I. Then we do the same change for ds, ds over d tau, is enough to multiply everything by s, and so the equation is sps over q. Finally, we compute the derivative of ps over d tau. It's enough to replace, to multiply the derivative with respect to t of ps by s. So we do this multiplication, we add this term, and then you immediately see that all s terms cancel once we replace pi with p prime I. So at the end we get four equations, but note one important property of these equations, that equations A, B, and D do not depend on S. So there is no dependence on S. The reservoir is completely parameterized by Ps. So the relevant reservoir variable is the momentum Ps, which appears in the equation for the momentum of the particles, P prime I. So now let's see the meaning, let's understand the meaning of this equation. So let's use A and B to derive the Newton equation. So we replace the velocity, the momentum, with the velocity. So we replace P with the derivative of Ri respect to tau in equation B. And so we get the Newton equation. So the mass times the acceleration is equal to the force minus 1 over Q Ps multiplied by mvi, where vi is the velocity, is the derivative of r with respect to tau. So we see here the type of equation that we have in this formalism. Beside the force, there is also an additional velocity-dependent term which is proportional to Ps. And what is the role of Ps? If Ps is positive, this term acts as a friction. So, as the friction does, the system decreases its energy. So the presence of a positive Ps is such that the energy associated to the particles is decreasing. On the other hand, if Ps is negative, this is not a friction, it acts in the opposite way, it gives energy to the system. So it's now clear what is the meaning of Ps. Ps is the reservoir variable that gives or takes out the energy from the system. If Ps is positive, energy is transferred from the system to the reservoir. On the other hand, if Ps is negative, energy is transferred from the reservoir into the system. The dynamics of Ps is controlled by its equation, which is equation D. And now this is quite interesting. The derivative of Ps over d tau is twice, apart from a factor of 2, is the total kinetic energy of the system minus 3nnkt. Now I have used the value of g equal to 3n, which is the average kinetic energy in the canonical sample according to the equipartition system theorem. So we see what is the purpose of this term. Imagine that the kinetic energy is larger than the expected average value. In this case, the derivative of Ps over d tau is positive. So what happens? That Ps increases, eventually it will become positive, and when it becomes positive, it begins to act as a friction. So if it acts as a friction, it reduces the kinetic energy of the system. So it is a sort of a reactive force. If the energy is too much in the system, Ps increases so that at a certain point it begins to counteract that, and the energy of the system will become smaller, so that it will be close to the average kinetic energy, which is predicted by the equipartition theorem. On the other hand, if the kinetic energy is too small, is smaller than 3nnkt, the expected average value, then the Ps over d tau is negative. So PS decreases. Eventually it becomes negative. And when it becomes negative, it provides energy. The reservoir provides energy to the system, and then the kinetic energy increases. So the role of PS, the role of the reservoir, is that of inducing energy fluctuations in the system so that the total kinetic energy fluctuates around 3N MKT, which is the average value in the canonical ensemble. So it does exactly what you expect in the canonical ensemble. The energy of the system fluctuates around its average value, and its average value is fixed by the equipartition theorem. It is 3N KT. So this means, of course, that the canonical energy, the part of the energy which is only referred to the system, is not conserved. And this is shown at page 4. So if you take the derivative respect to tau of the canonical energy, and you do the calculation, so you do the differentials, and then you use the equations of motion, you immediately see that this derivative is proportional to Ps multiplied by the kinetic energy. So the energy decreases for Ps, which is positive, and increases when Ps is negative. So this is the relation that we need. Whenever Ps is negative, it provides energy to the system. When Ps instead is positive, it gives it takes out energy to the system. Of course, the total energy of the system is conserved because we are working in the microcanonical ensemble. And so if we consider also the derivative respect to tau of the energy associated to the reservoir, we obtain exactly the same result, but with the opposite sign, so that the total energy reservoir plus particle system is exactly conserved. The energy flows from the reservoir to the system and back. Finally, let's consider momentum conservation, because this is relevant whenever we do not have boundaries, so there are no external forces. Also, in the case of the Nose-Hoover dynamics, there is a conservation law. So let's consider the total momentum P, which is the sum of P prime I. So we take the derivative, and so we obtain that the derivative respect to tau of capital P is equal to the sum of the forces minus Ps over Q multiplied by the sum over I, P prime I. But now, if there are no external forces, then because of the third principle of dynamics, the sum of the forces is zero. And so we obtain an equation for the derivative of the total momentum. The derivative of the total momentum is not zero, but is equal to minus Ps over Q multiplied by P. But now we use the equation of motion of the reservoir variable S. So we have that Ps over Q is 1 over S dS over d tau. So we insert this quantity and we multiply everything by S. And by visual inspection, you see that the derivative of tau of S multiplied the total momentum is equal to 0. So we see here that the quantity SP is conserved. And the reason of this S is, of course, related to the change of variables that we have performed. So also in this dynamics, we have a conserved quantity, which is S times the total momentum P. So effectively, in the absence of boundaries, when there are no external forces, in principle, we cannot use the ergodic theorem, because we are not really visiting the full microcanonical energy surface. But then we make the same conjecture as we have made for the standard Verlet dynamics. The hypothesis is that in the infinite volume limit, so for n sufficiently large, the relevant configurations are those for which the total momentum is zero. So the hypothesis is that the equivalence between microcanonical averages and canonical averages is also true when there are no boundary conditions, so there is conservation of momentum, as long as we consider the dynamics for total momentum equal to zero. So exactly as in the Verlet case, we need to fix the total momentum equal to zero in order to obtain the correct result.